Well, it's about that time, and welcome to Grassroots Talks Money. I'm here, Showtime, your host, with our co-host from halfway around the world, Mr. Mario Cavallo. How you doing today, Mario?
I'm doing great, Al. How are you? It's a beautiful day here in Sanya, Hainan Island, China. For people who don't know that, not too far, about a 45-minute plane ride to over to Hong Kong. And it's great to be here calling you from far away, as we always do every week.
Well, I am just as delighted. But I do need to remind you, as we were preparing for this show, because you're so far away, you probably don't have to shout, okay? So you probably got to back up just a little bit for our listeners, because we don't want to run them off, okay? I think they really want to hear what you got to say. So try that one more time for me.
I think we'll be good if I adjust the volume on this end. How's that about right there?
That's a whole lot better. I think we're good to go. You folks out there, again, this is Grassroots Talks, home of Grassroots Radio. Grassroots is a organization that uses the arts in whatever format to get folks' attention, so that we can address some of the most sensitive issues. But Grassroots Talks Money is a little bit unique, because we're talking about money. I think we're talking about personal finances. We're talking about business financing, investing, saving. We're even going to talk about what you got to do when you become a real old fart and ain't got no more money, or you know you should have money then, because your working days are over, because we only have a few years of when we're at our peak. Is that not right, Mario?
You've got that right, absolutely.
Okay. When you folks first started hearing about this, I opened this show up to have you really take a look at what I consider a crying shame right now. As people are out there losing their jobs because the banks have invested kind of crazy, the investors for these corporations, for whatever reason, people have lost their jobs. And now for them to try to recover, they go into this online affair of marketing and affiliate marketing and all kinds of online business, and they don't really know what they're doing. So Grassroots and our talented of passionate individuals such as yours truly and Mario Cavallo said, you know what, let's put our heads together and let's see what we can do about helping some folks out and in preparing to make the right decisions. So I have 25 comments or remarks for you today. So, yeah, get your pen out. And Mario is going to be responding to a lot of this as we go for the next hour in preparing you for this online marketing stuff that will take your wallet and take you to the cleaners at the same time. Because I'm a little unorthodox, as guess you folks already noticed, I'm actually going to start with number 25, and we're going to do a countdown to the hour. So the last thing that I would have been talking to you about would have been packaging your product with a lot of bonuses. When a lot of people open up their website, they think just because they built a website and they got this information that they're good, they're ready to go. How true that is not. So packaging your product with a lot of businesses, and this increases the perceived value because people feel that they're getting more for their money. Mario?
I'm right here, Al.
Okay. Whenever you decide you want to go ahead and jump in on any of those comments that I'm throwing, feel free. Can you talk about bang for the buck? What does that mean when we talk about online marketing?
Well, you know, in this regard, the issue, the comment that popped into my mind as you were speaking is this. You've got that opportunity to start your online business. You've got that opportunity to start your online website, and you almost have to. There's so many folks out there listening that have to. It's not even a maybe. You have to do it. And the reason you have to do it is because whether you like it or not, the socioeconomic landscape of the United States, the actual socioeconomic structure, is shifting. And that shifting is resulting in this high unemployment level that, because of the way industry and business is changing, there's going to be an economic recovery for all the people who still have their jobs, but the 10% without any jobs aren't going to have any jobs. There aren't any new jobs, and that shouldn't change anytime soon. And you want to go ahead and look at it from a positive point of view that says, you know what? There isn't going to be any jobs. I need to create my future. And relevant to your life, your time, your energy, your interests, a website is a free, almost free, very inexpensive, blank canvas for you to start creating your life and a business. And to your point about marketing, Al, all the tools are already right in front of you. If I decide to start with this blank canvas called a website to start my own business because I see the society's changing and this is the best thing I should do for my life, I'm going to do it. Well, I'm not running blind. I'm not the blind leading the blind. There's plenty of excellent marketing tool information out there to say to me, okay, step one, step two, step three, step four, here's what I have to do. It
okay.
can be done.
Well, Mario, let's center it back to just that word. If I, it's almost like a game show I want to play with you. If
sure.
You're going to advise me, but because you're such a high-priced consultant, you're going to give me the shortest answer when I say, I'm going to build my website, but I need to offer these people something. What does that mean?
When you say you need to offer, common sense, okay? When you write something down, I'm a professional speaker. When I stand up on stage, I'm going to open my mouth. It's for one, there's only three reasons: to inform you of something, to entertain you, or to inspire you. There's only three reasons in the world that exist to communicate. So when I got a website and I'm going to write something on my website, it needs to be information. I need to be informing you of something of value. I need to be entertaining you with it and or inspiring you with it. If what you have planned doesn't fit those three criteria, then nobody's interested.
That's beautiful. Now, I want you folks, hopefully you guys
there are no other reasons, sorry.
Because
there are no other reasons to open your mouth or write a word down with a pen or a keyboard.
All right, let's go to number 24. Offer a free trial or a sample of the product. This increases the perceived value because people think that they are confident in your product, so it must be good. Offer a free sample or a trial. What is that? Why would people want to offer them something for free on there?
Common sense. This is an easy one. Go on to number 23. Give you a test drive. You're going to let me test drive the product? That's like walking into an Italian deli down on Arthur Avenue in the Bronx and saying, can I have a little piece of that cheese? Let me taste that. And, of course, the owner, he's going to give you a little piece of the cheese to taste the cheese. Oh, I love that. That's delicious. Now give me 2 pounds of it. You're going to give somebody a test drive. This is what,
okay.
This is what the man, the bake shop will do to let you taste one of his cookies before you buy a whole big bag of them. And it's personal, and it's just good common sense to let people take a test drive, just like a car, too. I mean, there's 1,000 examples. Of course, it's just common sense that's a great idea to let people take a test drive first.
Okay, excellent. We're getting on a roll here. All right, number 23. Now, you could create a new market for your existing product. For example, if you're selling plastic bottles of pop, soda pop, I think that's what they call it down south, okay, you could turn around and sell those bottles to a fruit drinking company. Let me see if I said that right, or did you catch it, Mario?
Say it again.
Okay. Create a new product from your existing product, okay? For example, if you are selling plastic bottles to a pop company, then you could turn around and sell those same bottles to a fruit drinking company.
Okay. Find more customers. Find more clients. Is this what you're
getting? That's exactly what it's saying.
You don't have to leave yourself in a box
to go after just one particular client who may seem to be buying it, because there may be others that would be interested too.
No question about that. But remember, that takes time and or money.
Absolutely.
That takes time and money to go out there. And, you know, I'm going to go back to the very first part of what you just said, which is creating – I think you said something about creating a new market.
The first one was to package your product with a lot of bonuses. The second one was offer a free sample of the product. The third one, which we're on now, is to create a new market for existing
products.
That's
what you said, create a new market.
Yeah.
That's difficult. That going after a brand new market, that requires an enormous amount of time, energy, and luck. okay, and not to mention probably money, create a new market. If you're just starting out and you don't have a lot of capital and you have an idea of what you want to do with your business, what you want to do is get your piece of the pie of an existing known market rather than go after a new market. Now, you say to me, well, but if I go after a new market, maybe I'll strike gold. Okay, well, that's fine, except then you have to consider what they call the survivorship bias in probabilities. Okay.
Ooh, that's a 50-cent word. Can you say
that
again? Yeah,
well, here's what the survivorship bias in probabilities is. That means, you only see the story of the one guy who made it rich by going after a new market. Well, what about the other 99 who lost their ass?
All right. Okay. That was excellent analogy there. We're going to move on to number 22, and we will do a recap for you folks out there that are taking notes, but I can tell you really, really have an interest because Mario's got a wealth of information. Number 22, use attention-grabbing objectives to describe your product.
Stop. Listen to me right here. Very, very clearly. You know, one of the areas that I'm very, very familiar with is the use in language of influence, to influence and persuade. There's psychology, there's sociology, there's neurolinguistics, there's all kinds of models out there which teach us the influence and persuasion of language. And this is what I charge $400 an hour to teach executive coaches and to teach people who are going to be on TV what they got to say in front of the camera. And this is what Madison Avenue, the advertising industry, does to you when they spend $50 million on an advertisement, okay, to make your stuff appealing and interesting to someone, to grab people's attention. You have to psychologically and emotionally grab them. The very first way that you do that is you use words that are see, hear, and feel. Look at me. Listen to me right now what I'm saying. That grabs your brain because it appeals directly to three of your five senses. So this is it right here, okay? Stuff that's emotionally appealing and impacting and grabs your audience are based on those three senses, see, hear, and feel. You see what I mean? Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you feel what I'm saying? These are very appealing. You use these, and they're very simple, and they're very direct. I want to sell you an aspirin. You see a TV commercial. It's a lady holding her head with pain, okay? You see that. That's a feeling. You don't want to see it. So look at this woman with the headache, okay? And you see, and that is just a direct emotional impact. The second part of it is to understand the person's motivation. I'm interested because I'm either trying to gain something good or I'm trying to get away from something bad. Towards something good or away from something bad. So you see, hear, and feel, and why do I care? I'm trying to get something good, enjoyable, or get away from some bad pain. Why do I want to buy your product? Well, because if I buy your product, it will help me have the best quality, that this and that and this and that. Well, that's toward gain. I want good quality. But here's the other person. Why do I want to buy your product? Because I got problems. I got headaches in my company, and if I buy your product, maybe you help me solve my problems. So you see, those two people have completely different motivation. Those five key points are directly what make anything that you do be directly psychologically and emotionally appealing and influential and persuasive to people.
Wow, this guy is just like a Uzi or a Tommy gun. My goodness. I was writing down some of the words as I also am a student to the game. Words such as sizzling, incredible, high-powered, killer, eye-popping, and you could go on, but words that catch people's attention. And
well, go to Google. Thank you, God, for Google. And just go to Google and type it in. I think it's Harvard. I don't remember. But there's a list of the most influential words. Someone did a study, and there's a list of the most influential words. And you just Google that, and you find it on the web, and you find out what those words are.
So, folks, as you probably can tell, we're not out here pitching you anything, although there are a couple of companies that we found to be some of the strongest that are out there. But that's not what we're selling to you right now. What we're doing is selling you common sense for free. And I don't think that's negotiable. So let's continue to move forward. We're going to go to now number 21. Use a headline that catches the attention of your target audience. One of the most effective ways to use a free offer as your headline. What do you think about that one, Mario?
It actually just reflects right back to what I said. Using that headline in exactly the way that I just talked about. See, hear, feel, toward, and away. Why do I care? What are you making me picture? What am I listening to? What do I feel? What do you want me to feel? And how? And that all that needs to be reflected briefly and quickly in the headline. And the word free, everyone will tell you, of course, the word free is, you know, it's the number one economic word of the whole world. You know, this, if you're going to be making a free offer, obviously it needs to say that.
Wow. Okay. If you folks are overwhelmed like me, just understand that that's part of what this is about. If you're listening to your monitor, your computer at home, you're probably doing some other stuff while you listen to a show. I'm glad. If you needed to take a break and get yourself another sip of tea, I totally understand, because we have a few more to go. Our show is being made possible through our generous contributions and our sponsors. And in this show, I'm going to remind you folks that you too can become a sponsor on our show. Because of the amount of people who are listening to this, this might be a way. But I got to tell you, we're not going to take everybody's stuff to promote what we are doing. So if you contact our agency through our website or visit Mario. Mario, what's your email or your website address?
Exactly my name, Al, www.MarioCavolo, MarioCavolo.
We need to do that one more time just to make sure.
Yep.
Stay ready with your pins, folks.
Yep. www.MarioCavolo.com. And in fact, Al, I know a little bit later on in the show here, we're going to go directly to that site and to my other site, sanyaexpat.com, because we're going to look at the sites that I started, and we're going to look at some of the things that happened in there, how I developed those sites, and to the level of success that they've achieved up to this point. So we can use these sites as a live case study example of things that people can do. And when we look at the sites too, is in terms of saying, well, Mario, why did you do that, and why did you do that, and why did you do that?
You know, and folks, as you probably wonder, when people say, you're listening to the internet on the radio, well, keep your seatbelt fastened, folks. This is the future. How many times can you be interactive if you're just listening to the standard radio? It ain't going to happen. And you sure not going to be talking to people from halfway around the world who has done their homework that's going to help you better the quality of your life to help you put keep the green in your pocket and then make more. We're going to move on to number 20. Oh, I forgot. Let's just remind yourself, folks, this is a real live show, and I forgot to mention my sponsor, but it's never too late so long as I get it done before I'm off the air. The Medicine Shop. The Medicine Shop is located in the city of Artesia, California, right next door to Cerritos, California. They're on Pioneer Boulevard. And if you've ever been ill and had to go and get a subscription filled or prescription, you're going to sit there and you're going to wait and wait and wait, and then you're going to wait some more. And then finally you come up and you pay your stuff, they hand you the bag, and then you leave. Well, not with the Medicine Shop, because what they do, they take the time, they pull out the instructions, and they help explain to you what it is that you're going to be administering, how to do it, and the whole nine yards, and what you need to look for. Now, you tell me how many other pharmacists do that. So you want to get on over there to the Medicine Shop in the city of Artesia, California, off of 171st. Now, let's move on here to number 20. Highlight all the important key words and phrases in your ad copy. You could use bolding, underlining, or color to highlight the important words. Why would we do that, Mario?
You want to do, okay, to the degree that you want to do that, you want to do it, though, I'm going to issue a warning here. You want to do that at a minimum, because you don't want to overdo that. If you overdo that, it doesn't look professional, and it's just too much. Then it looks amateurish. So you really want to hone in on no more than three. And three is psychologically magic number, okay?
You mean to tell me that's why people
never focus on no more than three key points. Don't be creating ad copy with all kinds of, you know, there's nothing worse than overdoing it, okay? You know, again, I'm relating this in terms of website and marketing material and PowerPoint presentation that I would use as a speaker up on stage. And we, you know, professional speakers, we keep this stuff to an absolute minimum because you don't want to be distracting people by doing too much. But yes, key words, two or three key things or phrases, you want to bold them. Don't overdo it, but it draws people's attention to those very, very key things that you want people to notice.
So are you telling me that's why nobody never responded to some of my earlier ads? Because, see, when I bolded everything and then put a lot of color on it, it just got a little messy.
Yeah, a little bit too much, exactly. And then people just look at it and go, okay, that's just too much. You know, just let me read it and let them figure it out themselves. And just give them a little bit of hints.
Okay, all right. I guess lesson learned here, all right? Now, let's go to number 19. Use short sentences or sentence fragments in the body of your ad copy. A short burst of words can catch a skimmer's eye with one quick glance. What are they trying to say here?
Al, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. The question is, what are they trying to say here? Just use, they said a short burst of words can catch a skimmer's eye with one quick glance.
That's exactly it. Also, people don't have a lot of time. We live in the MTV world of music video clips, and reading is the same thing. So short bursts of words that are, again, relevant and to the point is exactly the kind of writing style that you need. If you're writing these long, what they call back in high school, run-on sentences, you're making a big mistake because people read that and they get fatigued very quickly. They want to be able to get to the point. The other way to write sentences is to write sentences in a way where you string them together in what we call a pacing and leading type of structure. It's not really complicated, and as I explain it to you here, you'll find actually that it's quite easy. You let people know that, for example, you're wanting to offer them a product that is efficient, affordable, and has good value. So we have those three words. Okay, write those down: efficient, affordable, and has good and a great value. Okay. Fine. So now how do we structure this as pacing and leading? We use the word as and a lot to string short groups of sentences together. And, for example, we say, you know, as you find yourself each day realizing you want your XYZ to be more efficient, and as you also find yourself realizing that when you buy things, you want them to be and need them to be affordable because you're on a tight budget, these two things make you realize that our product, XYZ, is a great value. So as such and such and such efficient, as and such affordable, and so this makes you realize our product is a great value. So you see how I chain those three things together, and that's called a pacing and leading kind of fashion. And that gets a person's brain right to the point. As you want something that's efficient, and as your budget needs it to be affordable, these two things make you realize that our product is a great value, and so give us a call. That's
it.
Boom.
That was an excellent example, because I'm sitting up here going, all right, I'm hoping he's going to give me an example, because I couldn't figure it out totally. All right. Now, let's move on, because we will have a special piece that you're going to be leading us to by going into a website this evening. But we want to keep moving forward. So we are on number 18 now. Highlight buying incentives like free bonuses and money-back guarantees. You could place them in boxes in front of different colored backgrounds. So the thing is, be very clear of what you're highlighting. Is that what you're kind of saying?
Well, actually, there's a key point here, and you'll see how I use it on my sites, which is when you're writing an article, okay, sometimes you want to do a separate where you block out some special information in a separate paragraph where you've indented it and even shaded it a different color. That's great. I just don't recommend you use yellow, lime green, or purple. You know? I mean, I've got a white blog. I'm writing sentences. there's a particular set of information, such as a quote from somebody in the article that stands out. So I will take that text and I will preformat that out and give it a shaded gray background and indent it in a separate box in there, so it stands out a little bit, but it still looks nice and smooth and polished.
Ah, okay.
And we'll see these examples again when we go to the sites in a little bit later on in the show.
Okay, let's move then to number 17. Place colorful graphics or pie charts or other charts in your ad copy. Use charts that'll grab a person's eye and also support your product claim.
Minimal again, yes. Charts are great, visuals are great, but overusing those charts is not good. And also, using the charts, and I shouldn't have to warn about this, but I do, using the charts in a disingenuous way to exaggerate also is bad, because people aren't stupid, and then they don't.
Wait a minute, are you saying people would lie about their numbers?
No, they would not lie. They would indirectly exaggerate, which isn't lying. As far as they're concerned.
Okay.
They play with the statistics, okay? Again, this is the problem with statistics. And actually, Al, this has been bugging me. It's itching since about 5 minutes ago. So now I have to say this. You can hear what's happening with me and Al on the phone, right now on the radio here with you. We are just telling you what you need to know, what is helpful, what is useful, what is valuable. You can hear the tone. You can hear the genuineness in the fact that, hey, we're here and we're helping you. Later on, you might be interested in the products and services we have. That's great. We hope you are. But you can hear the difference between a real conversation and a sales pitch. And you've got to learn to get your instincts up to when you get that little red flag and, you know, that little animal in the back of your head that pops up and says, sales pitch, sales pitch, run the other way. Okay, and this is what I'm talking about, because you can take statistics and you can make something sound much better than it really, really is, because the way you use and twist statistics, and governments do it, all salespeople do it, companies do it, they're doing it now with mark-to-market and the accountants and the stock market. I mean, and you just got to be wise to it. So actually, be wary of statistics and charts. I can make statistics and charts sound fabulous when in fact they're not.
Wow. That's a very powerful piece of information. Moving to number 16, as you folk can see, we're more than halfway down the line looking for some other exciting pieces that's going to happen. But as you can tell, I've kind of did a little bit of homework here to really stimulate Mario's ability to share, because he's one of those, you throw a word at him and he's going to respond. This is how you grab people's wealth of knowledge, and hopefully you guys will turn this into your dollars and cents. So number 16 says, create a free ebook directory on a specific topic at your website. People will visit your website to read the free ebook and many of your product ads. Oh, really? Is that true, Mario?
To the best of my knowledge, actually, that's true, and I'm also heading in that direction. To the best of my knowledge, already on the web, there's plenty of ebook directories that are already out there. And this is, in my comments, I have it written down here, where you need to link your website and your products and services into other relevant websites. And what you just said here is a perfect example of that. Okay, if you're offering an ebook, then you need to get your ebook listed on some ebook, well-known ebook directory on the internet. And then, of course, you're going to link back on your own website to that ebook directory. Absolutely.
Wow. Okay.
That's the way it works.
Write down your ad copy like you're talking directly to your visitor. Use words such as you, your, a lot in your ad copy. Why would anybody want to do that?
Again, we're back to psychological and behavioral influence with words. The way speeches are written by politicians, by the speeches that are read by the president of a country, okay, including President Obama. The way ad copy is written and is done as voiceover on advertising and TV commercials. These people are professionals, professional counselors, professional counselors, professional speakers. people in the church who are powerful motivational ministers. These are all examples of people who know how to use language to be more influential. And using the word you is a perfectly good example. I'll be up on stage doing a speech in front of 1,000 people, and I will say something to the effect of, there's something that you care about. And I'll be looking at a person who's, you know, 39 rows back in this room of 1,000 people.
Or they think you are. They're not noticing that you're cross-eyed,
there's something
right?
in this room that you care about. And somebody back there in the 39th row thinks I'm talking directly to them because of the fact that I'm looking in that direction at the same time that I emphasize the use of the word you when I'm talking. You see? So this, again, is the psychology and behavior of influence in using language. And the word you makes it more personal, makes it feel like, hey, you're talking to me, not somebody else.
Okie dokie. Moving right along here. I hope you folks are getting something out of this like I am. Now, here we go. Number 14. Have some mugs imprinted with your website and address or other business information. Use them when you have a company or you have giveaway gifts or something like that. What about that giving away trinkets and cups and pins and all that kind of stuff?
Yes, but carefully, it can get expensive. I love the idea of coffee mugs because a person will use a coffee mug. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid-looking keychains? That doesn't make sense. Who's going to add it to their keychain? Say, man, well, you're going to give me this big, funky-looking keychain thing. Oh, that's very nice, but I'm not going to put that on my key ring and stick it in my pocket. You know, I'm just not going to add it to my keychain. I like my keychain just the way it is. You know, so be careful about what you... Pens are fantastic. USB sticks, you know. But this is peripheral, and this is what we could call peripheral marketing. And be careful. It can get a little bit expensive.
Okay, that's a good point. And in some of our other shows, we'll also talk about what's the smart dollars that people need to take a look at investing, but we won't be doing it now.
Yeah, in fact, Al, let me really put a damper on this one, okay? You really ought not to be spending $50 on 50 coffee mugs when you could spend that same $50 online and get a few hundred people to read your article.
Whoa!
Isn't that a better use of your money?
I guess so, and you got a lot of Christmas gifts now to give away. Hey,
you know, yeah.
Family members. Okay.
Seriously, think about that. You know, it's a question, again, smart, better use of your money. And if you're starting up and you're just getting started and you want to get exposure, it's your energy and creativity and ideas. You shouldn't be spending money on coffee mugs.
Okay.
Not until after your business is established.
All right. When we come back, we're going to go into number 13. But, Mario, we're on the half hour now, and we have our Miss Tokyo Rose on the line, and I can't help but call her that because she is such a darling. Miss Fee Hewing, how you doing, Fee?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. It's great to be talking to you today. Say hello to Mario.
Hey, Mario, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Fee. I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say today. Give it to us.
Absolutely. What you got going for us today on saving money or what are we doing? Investing money? Something good that our listeners need to know.
Well, yesterday I touched on the fact about there are last-minute travel deals out there to go with our last-minute shopping.
Oh,
and
yeah,
in addition
yeah.
to last-minute airfare, there are also last-minute deals at hotels or Amtrak. All you have to do is get on the email list of your favorite hotels or even all hotels if you want to just be in the know. And, for example, Marriott sends out their emails, I believe, Monday or Tuesday of each week, and they advertise their weekend specials at certain hotels that are 20% off for that weekend only. So you can take advantage of those sales for your last-minute travel.
Okay. Wow. Now, that's a great tip. You know, I do have another question. Or, I'm sorry, do you have a little bit more than that? Because I got something I've really been dying to ask you, okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, you folks out there can't see me, but I like to eat. Wait a minute. Let me rephrase that. I really like to eat, okay? And when I'm traveling, I'm really concerned about being able to continue to have food that, how do I say this appropriately on the air? Well, let me just spit it out because I'm known for being a bit abrupt. I don't want to wind up catching the runs, and I don't want to wind up having things kind of get a little backed up. So what about this food when I'm traveling? You know, how do I know what to expect? Or then all of a sudden I just got to wind up eating anything, and then it ruins my trip.
Well, I think one of the key things to look for is that a restaurant is crowded. If they're crowded, that means they have a lot of food turnaround, and there's not much food sitting around under the heat lamps or in the back somewhere where you can't see it.
They're
always selling the food, and there's a lot of people eating it. So let's get getting
there. This one probably, Mario probably can relate to this experience, and you just chime in, Fee, when you feel comfortable. But here's my big, big problem. If I'm traveling in the States, that's fine. But when I go to another country, and then they come up to me with a menu, and I look at it, and there ain't no pictures, I don't know what I'm getting. And too often, I just say, okay, give me one of these. And I come back, and there's things that are still swimming around, you know, and I'm like, what is this, okay? Do I eat it with a fork, with a spoon, with some sticks? I don't have a clue. What do I do about when I'm trying to travel and, you know, eat and enjoy that experience?
Well, when in Rome, eat like the Romans. So just take a look around, you know, see if you see any food that looks appetizing or just see the way people eat. And in a lot of countries, actually, they do have menus in English or at least something you can reference, especially if you're
over here in Asia, you need to look, you look for the restaurants that have menus in your language. Some of them do, some of them don't. Generally, when they don't, you can't go there. Or you can get a little bit friendly and you can ask people. Someone in the restaurant right there might have a friendly look on their face, and you can start chatting with them and find out that they've been traveling too, and then they can recommend a couple of dishes for you to sit.
And I'm trying to picture this right now because the expression on my face as I turn around to the waitress, and I probably wouldn't be able to hold it back, I'd go, "What the hell is this?"
Yeah, it happens. Well, you know, here in China, one of the greatest foods is the chicken soup, and it's often made with Chinese herbal medicines. And the thing is that Americans are really surprised when you get chicken or duck soup, because here you get the whole chicken right there in the bowl, but they don't cut the chicken's head off. So the chicken arrives at the table in the chicken soup, big crock of soup, and you got this chicken up staring at you.
Asians don't mind the head or the eyes or anything like that.
Really? Okay. Now, and then there's this friend of mine. He just came back from his trip. And since both of you have traveled, I want you to see if you can tell me where he was at. He was telling me about the monkey, and they ate the monkey's brain. Anybody got a clue on where that was?
Not anywhere near me. I mean, I don't know about you, but for us, duck tongues are delicious, and chicken feet, as opposed to the wings, are a regular food here that people nibble on all the time. And so
I
know both
too.
Of those to an American sound horrible, but they're regular tasty food here in China that I can tell you, but we don't go so far as the monkey brains.
No. I had the chicken feet at dim sum. It's really good.
Yeah, it's just like the wing. It's tasty stuff, yeah.
Okay, and
how
do you know you
can... bring a dictionary, too, if you're in another country. You can
there it is. Okay, I think that's what we really wanted to hear. That's going to help us in our travels. You folk, you need to get used to it because Miss Fee is going to be coming back from you every week on our show and give you the tips on how to travel, invest, and what her segment is called, Travel Like a King and Queen on a Peasant's Budget. And for all you ballers out there, y'all might not be paying attention, but sooner or later, your wallet may have to tighten up a little bit too, so she will have some great things for you, and she will always end with the tip for the day. Miss Fee, do you have a tip for the day for us?
I don't have the tip, but I believe the fairy godmother does.
Oh, great. Please, is she there yet?
Hello, everybody.
Hey, fairy godmother, how you doing?
I'm good, and you?
I'm going to be doing a whole lot better when you can give me the tip for the day.
The tip of the day is always bargain. No matter what, don't accept first price. Always bargain, especially if shopkeeper looks healthy. That means they eat well and they have lots of money, so they can afford to lower their price.
Oh, I love it.
That's beautiful.
Folks,
thank you so much,
Miss
Fee,
who is also Miss Tokyo Rose, and I want to thank you for coming on. We'll look forward to hearing from you next week. Okay?
All right. Great to be on the show.
All right.
Good
bye
talking
now.
To you.
Oh,
bye.
Man. Is she amazing, Mario?
That's great. That's just a prime. I'm just going to go to shopkeepers where the owner's a bit big.
Remember, always bargain. Okay. Here we go. Speaking of bargain, we're on number 14 now, folks. Let me see. Did we already do 14? Okay, no. It looks like we're on 13. Have some pins. I think Mario just got through saying the pins might be a little expensive, so we might want to go ahead and move up the chart
number
12.
Coffee mugs. Pens
coffee
are better.
Mugs.
Pens are definitely much more. You're able to, you know, spread pens around. Pens you can do pretty cheap. Coffee mugs are a lot more expensive than pens. Pens get passed around. Pens are much better.
Oh, with those silly cheap keychains. That's what you said, huh?
Yeah. Skip the coffee mugs and the keychains and go with the pens. Everybody needs a pen.
Okay, all right. Here we go.
Get passed around too.
Number 12 then. Have some flyers printed out with your website and address and other business information. Keep a few with you at all times on a bulletin board, clipboard, business card in your wallet, because you never know who you're going to run to that you might have to send to that website. What do you think about that one, Mario?
1,000% that should be done, and I would recommend doing it as a nice little business card-sized flyer. Keep it small. Keep it simple. Keep it convenient. You hand somebody a piece of paper, the first thing they're doing is looking for the garbage to put it because they don't want to be carrying it around or having to fold it up. It's not convenient. But a business card is small, it's nice, it's handy, and it makes sense. Your business card, of course, should have your name, who you are, where you can be found, and that should include your website. These things actually are the new... I want everybody to hear me when I say this. These things are requirements. They're not options. This is the new de facto standard of what you need to do living in the world we live in today. And you have to have, unless you're hiding from the IRS or your ex-wife, you have to have a presence on the Internet, and that needs to be reflected on your business cards. And in there so that people know where to find you and where to get you. I have a LinkedIn profile, which is my business. LinkedIn is more of a professional networking website, whereas Facebook is more personal and fun. And all of that needs to be, people need to know where and how to reach you, your Skype number, et cetera.
Well, you know, I need to stay on that. Two things came to mind, and hopefully as I throw them back out here, you can address both. The first one being, a business email address rather than a personal email address. Do you agree?
Yeah, there is definitely an issue with that. I have my company, Vision to Victory. So Vision to Victory is VTV. VTVAsia.net is my business server. You can reach me by writing me at mario@vtvasia.net. But you could also reach me at my Gmail address. Depending on the position that you have and your business and the nature of it, you know, people get a little bit more of a professional impression by your giving them your business, your email server address, rather than just your Gmail or your Yahoo address. Al, getting back to the business card thing, which your email
address. Yes, that's exactly where I'm going. Come on.
We got to go back to it one more time because in America, many years ago, there started this anti-business card campaign. I don't know what it is, but a lot of people in America do not have business cards. And everybody thinks it's overkill to have a business card, or at least this is what it was like back when I was living there. And here in Asia, it's exactly the opposite. When you meet somebody new, it's weird if you don't have a business card.
Really?
In China, not only that, but when you hand someone your business card in China and Japan, you don't hand it to them casually like while you're sipping your beer and chewing on your French fries. Okay? You take the time, take your business card out, and with your two hands on the card, you present it to them. And with their two hands, they accept it, and they look at it, and they acknowledge it, and before they put it away. So, because this is the only way I have to get a hold of you after we've met. It may be important. It may be valuable. So the business card exchange is a sign of taking a moment to respect the fact that, hey, I just met somebody new, and I'm going to take their be presented with their business card, present them with mine. And this is how people network and stay in touch. This is expected here in China. And in, I want to go so far as to say Japan, Asia, you know, Hong Kong, Taiwan, Singapore. And somehow that's become less of a valuable thing in America. And I think Americans need to get back to that as, again, the socioeconomic landscape over there is changing. You need to know, let people know who you are, and a business card is the right way to make that happen.
That's a fantastic business etiquette approach. And as you were saying that, I was reflecting about how many times I pulled out the card and just kind of, hey, well, call me if you want, and just left it on the table or something.
Yeah, that's right. It just became something in the American culture. And not to criticize cultures, because they all have good and bad. But I think in America, you need to get back to that, having that business card as an important means of contact.
Right, right. Wow, we are moving so fast on this, and we want to get to your website. So I'm going to stop us at number 10, and we can pick that up because, folks, I have so much stuff to be able to challenge you, but I'm also going to make sure that you folk can write me or Mario and tell him what your concerns are, and we will put those concerns out here on the air. Well, obviously, we'll protect your anonymity. We won't say who you are, but we will be able to put that out there and give you the answers that you want, and probably those answers will be good for a lot of folks. So let me move on to number 11, and then we will be done with this portion, and we'll pick that up next time. The last one that I'm going to share with you is have a magnetic sign to make your website with your website and the address on it and other information. Why would you a magnetic sign and put it on your car door or your roof or your refrigerator? Wait a minute, your refrigerator too? I know you guys are wondering, where do I go and find this information? Remember in the website I said, I did a lot of research here, okay? Some of this stuff, as you notice, is stuff that you will use, and some of it makes no sense at all. And that's why we bring Mario to the table, to let it make some sense to you. Mario, what about this magnetic stuff?
You've covered it. For some people, it makes perfect sense. If you offer professional services, if for example, I would say what comes to my mind immediately is something like a plumber or a landscaper, okay? By all means, as long as you don't mind putting it on your car to get a magnetic sign made and to put it on both sides of your doors, on both sides of your car, so that as you're driving through into the neighborhoods, people can see that you're a landscaper. I mean, trucks always have those kinds of signs painted onto them. But if you just have a car or a hatchback, sure, go ahead and do the same thing. Other kinds of businesses, it's not going to be so appropriate, but it's just another way to advertise. It makes sense. As long as it's relevant to the particular business that you're in.
Wow.
Nice idea.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay. Now, what was that website? Because all you folks out there that have a computer, this is one of the best things that could ever happen to internet radio merging with the internet search engines. What can we go and find out about Mario and what Mario has to offer to a lot of you folks out there that'll make your shopping for the right business opportunity that much better? What's the website we need to be going to? Is everybody ready at this search engine?
What we're going to do today is we're just going to use the one particular website that I have as an example of a person, myself, who had the idea for good reasons to start a website, and that started off as a blog for information, and then now has become something that generates revenue. How did that happen? And the fact that I did it as a startup, meaning I didn't invest zillions of dollars or anything. I just put my time and energy into it. So what we're talking about, everybody knows I live in China. I live in Sanya. That's Sanya. The website is SANYAEXPAT, expat, which is short for expatriate, which is a foreigner who lives overseas, like myself.
Okay.
SANYAEXPAT.com.
Okay.
Go to that website if you're on the line with us right now. Just pop
Probably also have some elders that are out there who've been kind of misused a little bit in this email and marketing type stuff. So let's just slow it down for us elders, okay? Spell it again for me.
Sure, you got it. It's, again, Sanya, SANYAEXPAT.com. SanyaExpat.com.
Now, what you guys don't realize what I did, I had to have him shift gears a bit. When I first learned about how to manipulate a computer, I'm sitting at his desk one day. We're out in Hermosa Beach, and we're having this conversation, and at the same time he's talking about something not relevant to, I know what he's typing on the screen, but he's typing 120 miles an hour, and I'm going, dude, do people really think this fast? So on behalf of all of you folks who might be either dyslexic, a little bit slow, or whatever, or a senior who just wanted to have him slow down so we can get it, this is what I think he said. SANYAEXPAT.com. Is that what you said?
That's right. You keep me tame, Al. Absolutely. You remind me to slow it down.
Okay,
and
hit search, you guys, and let's see what we come up with. Because
if you Google that, of course, you go right to the site. See, so you say to me, what are my key points I want to tell you about starting up a website? It's got to have an effect. Here's my 10 points for the day, okay, very quickly. One, the site has to have an effective, relevant name, okay? Sanya Expat. Why? Sanya is the name of one of the world's top number one upcoming tropical island destinations. It's on the south end of Hainan Island. It's down in the tropics, it's very far south end of China, and all the major hotels in the world, Hilton, Sheraton, Marriott, Ritz-Carlton, Mandarin Oriental, and on and on and on, and Banyan Tree, Intercontinental, they're all here, Kempinski. So this is becoming the next Cancun, the next China Riviera, okay, the next Riviera of China. And so I live here, I'm here.
Let's do our homework real quick because they're going to cut me off.
There's very few other foreigners here, something now.
Yeah, folks, this is what I want you to do. Do your homework and let's apply some of the things that you saw, that you heard tonight from Mario, and see how he applied it. The bold letters, the things that jumped out, the words, and what we're going to do next week, we're going to bring you some more stuff that is going to help you make your decisions. But you got to start now, and we'll look forward to connecting with you folks next week. We want to thank Mario for sharing the things that really help enrich all of our lives. And last but not least, where can they contact you again through email if they maybe want to place an ad on a website or ask you any questions, Mario?
Actually, just by going to either of those two sites, again, I make it easy. You go to SanyaExpat.com or you can see MarioCavolo.com, either of those two sites. And right on the front page, you can see a spot where it says contact here, and that goes right to my email, and you're directly in touch with me. And again, it's one of those kinds of things that you do to make it easy for people to get in touch with you when you're promoting your online business. And since we're out of time, Al, as you said, we'll go through some of the key points of how to set up the sites and continue giving people tips and hints that are going to be helpful.
Fantastic. Folks, you've been listening to BBS Radio. This is Grassroots Talks Money, and I am your host, Showtime, and you listen to Mario Cavallo over 15 hours away on the other side of the country, bringing to you the things that we need to know to be able to watch our wallets and be able to make sound investments if we decide to go online or in any other direction. I want to thank Mario Cavallo again and our host, our station, BBS Radio, for allowing us this opportunity to be on the air. And this is Showtime for Grassroots Talks Money, signing off. Have a wonderful night and keep your wallets close.